Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish,
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring!
You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome to Pulse of the Nation. Another fine week as we head into a very, very warm July here in London. We are basking in the glory of this air conditioning. Terrible for the environment, but lovely for our dainty little warm, warm bodies. What a horrible way to put that. But here we are. That's how I've opted to start the show, and so the show shall start. I have two brilliant co-hosts today, because I love them both so much, I couldn't separate them. Slash, I accidentally put Max in the wrong spreadsheet form when I was doing my admin, and then he messaged me yesterday, and I was like, oh, fuck, that's my bad. So, yes, that's why. So I've got two brilliant co-hosts, but we're very, very lucky to have them, and I'll be pitting them against each other. They don't know this yet, but we'll have a little sort of face-off to see who will be the one true co-host. Our contestants today are Ben Pope and Max Fulham. We'll be talking to them in just a moment, and then we'll be joined by Amy Annette down the line. So yes, we're going to have a full studio today, all three guest seats occupied, and we'll start, as we always do, with some of the headlines. I mean, I've been flicking through the Metro. There's not lots and lots going on at the moment. That sort of mushroom murder case is still going on. It's not funny. People died, but it is a bit mad. But I don't really have any sort of interesting takes on that. I've mainly been preoccupied with the recent prescription of Palestine Action as a terrorist organisation. Yes, we're starting the show. Very light touch, bit of sort of classic comedy for you today. So yes, Palestine Action is now a terrorist organisation. It is illegal to support Palestine Action. It is illegal to say that the prescription of Palestine Action is wrong. It is illegal to say that Palestine Action has all the terror threat of Dennis the Menace. It is illegal to suggest that clearly if this Labour government find Palestine Action as dangerous as they think they do, then Tony Blair wasted his career inventing weapons of mass destruction in the Middle East. He could have just said that Saddam Hussein had a straw and some spitballs, because that's the sort of level they're operating on, that their rack was caught with whoopee cushions. But it's illegal to say that, so I won't say that. It is legal, however, to say that I detest Alistair Campbell. His redemption via podcast is abhorrent. He is the worst advocate for mental health ever, because obviously you have depression, you should have depression. I mean, like, if I am staying up awake at night, you know, thinking about social faux pas, like minor sort of mistakes I made in my life, you should have some war crime insomnia. I'm sorry, maybe that's not woke. You win with your woke stuff. But yeah, I don't really care about Alistair Campbell, and I think his podcast is a crime in and of itself. It is legal to say that Reverend Sue Parfitt, 83-year-old priest, is a terrorist sympathiser. It is legal to say that Nelson Mandela was also a terrorist, as prescribed by Margaret Thatcher. And it is thankfully legal that in place of Palestine Action, that Yvette Cooper is a group we can support, a direct action pro-Palestine group that has named itself after the Home Secretary. So if they'd like to be banned, Yvette Cooper would have to prescribe herself as a terrorist organisation. So yes, that is all, I think, I'm hoping I got my words right there, perfectly legal. But we'll see. We'll see if this is going out live, if the feds are listening, if they're one of our seven live listeners, or indeed catching up on podcasts. Don't forget, this is also a podcast. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and whatnot. But yes, that's sort of been my brain preoccupation this week. And on that note, I'm not going to make them comment on this, because I can see them shitting themselves a little bit. I'm not going to bring you in on that. I'm going to bring you up in a much lighter note. I welcome my wonderful guests, Max Fulham and Ben Pope. Hello.
Hi. Hello.
There's very nervous energy in the room, isn't there, just?
Yeah. Launched in.
Launched right in, yeah. What do you think? A two-state solution, or what? No, it's all right. I won't make you comment on this. That's not. I promised you this would be a no-prep, light, fun chat show, and it is. It is. I am just, my monologue is becoming increasingly preoccupied with that sort of stuff. We'll start with, how are you, Max?
I'm fine. You did say it was no-prep in the hastily copied and pasted confirmation message I got
think,
yesterday.
I think my message to you said, hi, Jen.
It did. It said, hi, Jen. And considering you are one of my closest friends, it was lovely to receive the copy and pasted message to Jen for the confirmation of the radio show I was definitely planned to be on.
Well, you were planned to be on, but just for next week.
So
I'm glad you did message me saying, can I double check the timings? Because I would have
turned up.
You would. No, that's good. If you turned up, we would have, you know, made do sounds harsh. But, you know, you're here and we're glad you're here. But who I did have in this spreadsheet space is the wonderful Ben Pope. Hello.
Hi, I'm not Jen either.
Did you get a message for Jen?
I didn't get a message for Jen. But I think it's funny that you got the incorrect message and it wasn't even for me.
No. I copy-pasted the same message, but I edited Jen to Ben for your... Well, that was an easy fix.
Oh, right.
That was just one letter. There was too much to do Jen to Max, you know. Too much sort of transfiguration.
A real Wordle kind of situation.
Exactly, yeah. Well, speaking of words and literary knowledge, yeah, that's my transition. Stop looking at me like this.
Right. Speaking of words.
I now see why I only ever have one co-host is because you have already unionised. Maybe you've not spoken it aloud, but spiritually you've unionised against me and I'm not a big fan of that.
I feel like it's the natural progression, I feel.
Okay, I'm now... So Kieran, I normally... this is my producer in the booth. We're all waving to him at the moment. I often bully him, but he's behind the desk.
Kieran's on our side as well.
Yeah, this is the thing. So normally it's the co-host and Kieran against me, but Kieran is like sort of tracked behind that glass, so I have the upper hand.
Yeah.
And also I can just put your faders down wherever I want. But now there's two of you... I'm on the back foot.
That's true. Well, we've been sort of sent in by Kieran as like live rats sent into the room.
Oh my goodness.
The Hunger Games where they would sort of release, like they're like, send in the beasts. That's us.
You'll be dead by the end of the hour.
Yeah. Dead by the end of the hour. Yeah, so I was going to pit you against each other, but actually
that's
you're here to take over the show.
Yeah. Throw out any format you had planned.
Yeah.
Loser.
Well, I've got some really fun formats actually.
Oh, God.
I've got, who said this? Pope or Pope? Who said this? Fulham or Fulham?
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll do a bit of that maybe after the break.
Is Pope or Pope, Ben Pope or the Pope?
Yeah.
Fulham or Fulham, is that me versus an entire football team?
Yes, yeah.
Right, okay.
Who said this? Fulham Football Club or Max Fulham?
We'll be able to tell because there'll be lots more people speaking.
Yeah, it'll sound like a lot more people, won't it?
Yeah. Oh, you think I've got sound cues? No, I'm just going to read it out.
Oh, okay.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I didn't realise that you were booked for this until 30 minutes ago, so I've not prepared any sound cues, Max, so you don't get ahead of yourselves.
I'll be doing my own sound effects for the show. Great.
Yeah. Oh, I can make you do your Elaine Page impression actually again.
I don't need to do that.
No, she does a wonderful Elaine Page. Yeah.
No, I think what I do is I vaguely make the sound that she makes when what she's doing is laughing.
Go on.
If you listener on Sundays, that is.
Are you an Elaine Page
that's
fan?
That's what
ben?
She does.
I wouldn't say I was a fan, but
it's been on though, hasn't
I've,
it?
I've heard it in the background of my mother's car before. That is
what's your mother's name?
Rosemary.
Rosemary. What a fantastic name, and what fantastic taste she has.
Yeah.
Do you think she'll be tuning in today?
Maybe. I didn't.
That was quite
I don't
high pitch,
she,
wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the lie. Yeah. That was the pitch of a lie.
Oh, I don't think she knows I'm doing this. But then also, that might not be the only reason she wants to listen. She maybe wants to hear you guys.
Yeah.
And your take on Palestine Action.
Mm. Which is illegal, by the way. Just to make that clear, that is illegal. It's illegal to support Palestine Action, and I don't because it's illegal. So what I was going to do with my transition before you knocked me off was, speaking of literary words and whatnot, Ben, you are a bookseller. You work in a bookshop.
Yeah, I manage a little independent bookshop called Review in Peckham.
Oh.
Which is, it's a lovely job, and it's a lovely little shop. We have two little rooms. We do like sort of contemporary literary fiction mostly, but a bit of everything. I love it. It's a nice job, and it tessellates very nicely with stand-up comedy as well, because I finish at 5 and then I get on a train to Bristol or wherever, and in the morning I come back in and I'm sort of a little bit hungover and rude to the customers, and that's like a perfect
great.
That nicely just works perfectly.
That's perfect. Well, I think it does tessellate very nice as well, because I enjoy your content both as a stand-up comedian and also your reviews of like
book the
covers.
Book reviews are great on TikTok.
Thank you so much.
Have you never met Max before?
No, we've never met.
Are you aware of Max's oeuvre? What would you guess? So he's a stand-up comedian, but he has a speciality. You know, so he might be like musical comedy, character comedy, stuff like that. What sub-genre would you give?
Elaine Page impersonator.
Yeah.
Yes.
There it is.
He's going to the Fringe for the full hour.
That explains all the luggage.
Oh, yes. Did you see the...
I saw the big pile of luggage. I assume costumes.
Of Elaine Page various...
It's all of Elaine Page's costumes.
Cats Elaine Page, Evita Elaine Page, all the classics.
All different Elaine Page.
Chess Elaine Page.
Chesson.
I know him so well. Max is a ventriloquist.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Whoa. Maybe, I don't think I've ever met a ventriloquist before.
Oh my goodness.
Or maybe I have.
It's an honour to be the first.
Someone else has been speaking. I don't know. That's so cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're so perplexed that the word cool has been used. That's never been levelled on you, has it?
Yes. No. Yes. Yes.
True.
I think I'm just so. But I always have a very like genuine awe at acts like, you know, people who juggling or circus acts or like musical comedians or whatever, who typically often get a lot of kind of hate from the actual stand up comedy community. Yeah. Because they I feel like comedy is there's such a wide spectrum of people who can just talk absolute rubbish, and actually there's some people who have a real skill at it, but there's also a lot of people throwing a lot of shade, and it's just talking in the end of the day, whereas you guys all have like a physical skill that is like in the medieval period would like get you like killed, like it's like genuine
for witchcraft. I mean? Yeah, you've got a real witchcraft skill.
You know what I mean? It's the sort of thing that people would like come from miles around to see the man whose voice, you know, comes out of a tree or something. You know, it would be like,
oh, these are all so much better ideas than anything in my show.
That would be a great fringe show. The man whose voice comes from out of a tree.
Yeah. Can I put "would have been killed in medieval times" on my poster?
I happily give you that quote.
A wonderful poll quote.
Who you get rid of from the poster? Mel Gidroy, Rachel Rowan Atkinson.
I'd make it a different dimension.
You could have a little staple on quote.
Yeah, that's fine. You could like tear those ones off.
Well, you are both. You're at the Fringe, Ben. Yes, you are. Yeah. Fabulous. I knew you're touring, but I couldn't remember about the Fringe. Mm. You have the Cut. Yes. Ben Pope, the Cut. A lovely, lovely poster.
It's a great poster.
Yeah, actually, you sent it to me talked about it with me.
Did, yeah.
As a reference point for a good poster.
Oh my god. Yeah. This is huge.
We had a lovely Italian meal in Hastings.
Talking about you behind your back.
Yeah. Oh, that we had this. So we did the Hastings Fringe on the same date, so we met before for a meal, and we're like, you know what, we fancy a curry, and we we're walking down the seafront, and we get to this curry house, and it is like sun bleached EasyJet orange, and like one of the windows is smashed in and boarded up, and it like it looks really, really terrible, and like we're like, oh, maybe it'll be nice inside. And as we say that, a man like a Disney animatronic on a ride comes out going fucking hell, spits on the floor, full tracksuit, no teeth, and we're like, no, let's not. And luckily three doors down was a very lovely bistro, so we went there instead.
Bistro.
And yes, over dinner we talked about your lovely poster.
Oh, bless
you guys. Tell us about your Fringe details for the Cut.
I'm at the Assembly Box, which is a lovely technically shipping container, but 75 seater thrust
dream
venue in George Square Gardens.
Oh, the Fringe.
At the Fringe. It's an hour sort of storytelling stand-up show about the time last year that I got circumcised, which is why it's called The Cut. But it's also called The Cut for a load of other reasons. And it's just sort of the story of how that came about and why it's taken me 10 years to get that surgery done. And there's a lot of stuff about like masculinity and people being scared of their own bodies and all of this sort of stuff, but also it's just like an hour of like jokes and stories. It's fun and goofy and silly.
Yes.
It's not just a worthy sad kind of trauma surgery story.
No, Ben is a fantastic stand-up. I fully recommend you go see that. And I think goofy is a good word, actually. You have a very sort of silly whimsy, which I greatly enjoy. And you can, if you want to see what Ben is like, you've got a special on YouTube you can go check out as well. Yeah. But yes, go see Ben at the Fringe. And then on tour, you can follow Ben at Pope's Benedict for all that information. Is that like meant to be like Eggs Benedict?
Like Eggs Benedict.
I've just caught that on. That's great. Yeah. Pope's Benedict.
Thank you so much.
Is there a confusion because there are like various Pope Benedicts?
Yeah, that has always been an issue. And in fact, there was a Pope Benedict. I mean, you guys, I don't know how au fait you are with popes.
I've got them, trading cards here.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, there was a Pope Benedict very recently, two popes ago.
Mm. He was the really conservative one, wasn't he?
Yes. Really not a great vibe from him. You know, you can tell he was not like a good, because when they did the two popes movie, he was played by Anthony Hopkins, which means, do you know what I mean? You're like, oh,
you don't want to be on the same level as Hannibal Lecter.
Intimidating, right? But that he was the Pope while I was a teenager, so sort of from like 10 to like 18, 20.
We all remember the Pope that from our teenage years.
That's
the main Pope.
That's my most formative Pope.
Yeah, that's like
formative Pope. But because my name was Benedict Pope, it just meant I got a lot of nonsense.
A lot of that. Yeah,
in that particularly annoying moment in my life. Anyway. But it's again not a sob story. It's a bit of fun.
It's a bit of fun. I've set the tone to be very sort of holier than thou with my opening monologue. So I feel like you're in the wake of that opening monologue. Don't let this somber sort of affair put you off. Ben is a fantastic stand-up. It's a very interesting story. I would like to hear more about it, and I will be coming to see you at the Fringe.
Oh, well, likewise.
Wait, what time are you on again?
5:05.
Oh, perfect. Dreamy. Very I would nice. Definitely be coming to see you at the Fringe. I'll also be coming to see Max at the Fringe, but sadly we've run out of time to plug his show. We'll be back after the break.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. We're now going to play the hotly anticipated game. ITV commissioners, if you're listening, I'll even take Channel 5. Yes, I'm desperate. We are playing Pope or Pope, Fulham or Fulham. So I'm going to read you each a quote from the other. So Ben, I'm going to read you a quote that's either going to be from Fulham FC, the football club, or it's going to be from Max Fulham, the ventriloquist sat beside you right now, okay? So here's the first quote. Who do you think this is from? Okay, so there's two quotes. One is from each. So you have to attribute them. You know, they don't look so great, but that is funny to me. I like the imperfection, the wonky face, or a bit of nastiness.
Oh.
Do you think that is from Fulham, or indeed a Fulham player, a Fulham manager, or is that from Max Fulham?
Oh, this is difficult.
I like the imperfection, the wonky face, or a bit of nastiness.
The wonky face, or a bit of nastiness. It's quite a gross. Well, in any context, could it bode well for whoever said it.
A bit of football violence has created this wonky face.
Yeah. Maybe it's a like a kind of slightly one of those like very over zealous football fans who's being mean about one of the players.
You reckon?
Yes. I think it's Fulham FC.
It is a quote, I'm afraid.
Oh my goodness.
From you'll find out after the second quote. I'm going to give you the second quote.
Okay.
Wow, what a format point.
Yeah. So who's this? This is from Fulham FC. Is this from Max Fulham? We're delighted to announce the signing of Emil Smith-Rowe from Arsenal on an undisclosed fee. Who do you think that is? Is that Max Fulham or Fulham Football Club?
Is this one of the ventriloquist characters?
He's a big sporting event.
That one is obviously Fulham FC, isn't
yes.
it? That's tough.
Which means the previous quote is from Max Fulham, talking about the imperfection of puppets.
Oh.
He loves the wonky face, nasty little puppet face.
Old creepy ones.
Yeah, right.
The antique ones, the weird ones.
The Victorian boy.
Yeah, the great ones.
Oh, the Victorian boy. Christ, that's quite scary.
Yeah.
Okay, now, Max, I've got two quotes here. One from Ben Pope, one from the Pope, our current Pope, Leo Provost, or whatever his Pope name is. I can't remember. I don't really care. Okay, so who is this? Is this from Ben Pope or the Pope?
Pope
or Ben Pope?
Okay.
The union of marriage is exclusively between a man and a woman.
I've said some awful things.
What do we reckon?
You see, this could easily be sort of comedian taken out of context, but I'm going to say...
Or do you want to hear the second quote and then...
I want to hear the second quote.
Okay, could this be... Pope, Leo Provost, the current Pope, head of the Catholic Church. I really want to see some juggling. I love watching juggling. I'm jonesing for some juggling. This sounds like a joke, but it isn't. I really want to see some juggling. I love watching juggling. I'm jonesing for some juggling. This sounds like a joke, but it isn't. Is that our current head of the Catholic Church, or is that comedian Ben Pope?
I think it must be Ben Pope, because he's already mentioned juggling on this radio show.
Juggling on the mind. That's
absolutely incredible that you're such a fan of juggling, which is objectively worse than ventriloquism and magic.
Yeah. Although a juggler is better than a magician in terms of like personal, you know, like I'd rather hang out with a juggler than a magician, but I'd rather see magic than juggling.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Probably. I think I probably agree with you. Yes. So there's two different hierarchies there, isn't it?
All those
variety schmucks are sort of constantly fighting for that.
You
that
can juggle.
Okay. Can.
Well, Ben is... I'll reveal the answer in case you were any in doubt. Leo Provost said that marriage between a man and a woman, and Ben Pope, in his Binge Fringe interview promoting the cut, said that he really wants to see some juggling.
I'm quite looking forward to... I mean, as I've said previously on this very radio
station. Obsessed.
I'm looking forward to going to the Fringe to see some of the more, like, just not comedy, but...
Sexy fun stuff, yeah.
Well, I'll read you the end of that quote. Magicians exist. Gymnasts are cool. Clowns, fire, juggling. People are incredibly skillful, and that's pretty cool, I think.
magicians exist.
Magicians exist.
Scathing. That is scathing.
Yeah, yeah. Magicians exist. As we've discussed, they're socially handicapped, I think. Quite compromised, you know. Am I allowed to say that? That sounds really bad.
No, like no.
I wouldn't hang out with one at a party.
No.
But I would, if one was passing at a party and going, hey, you want to see a trick? I'd be like, yeah, for 5 minutes. And then you must leave.
Then you must leave.
You must go.
That, I'd love that if you hire a close-up magician for your wedding and all the guests are like, fine, but then you must leave. you must get out.
You cannot be stinking up the room with your awful chat. You've got
to... oh, the patter, yeah. But would you juggle for Ben? You don't have to do it on camera. We can do it in the break.
Such a strange thing to ask. I don't have any thing. I could probably find some objects and juggle with them.
Oh, there you
I'm not sure juggling on the radio is surely worse than ventriloquism on the radio.
I think you overestimate the professionalism of this radio show. I think you overestimate my willingness to do something.
You've got
it
lights
sounds
and
funny.
Microphones and slidey buttons.
They're for all the reality TV stars that come in, not for us sort of gargoyle comedians. You know. I mean, it's a miracle they even give us the electricity, to be honest.
Lovely. Well, yeah, I'd be happy to juggle.
Okay, cool. We're going to have some juggling on the radio. I hope you're excited for that, dear FUBAR listeners. Just a reminder, you can see Ben Pope at the Fringe at the Assembly Box. The Box.
That's it. That's correct. Yes.
It is a lovely venue. I love those shipping container venues. They're very intimate and they are like, yeah, exactly what you want from the Fringe. Mm. And remind us of the time.
5:05 p.m.
5:05 p.m. every day. For the whole month?
For the whole month.
Perfect. Wherever you are in August, go see, in Edinburgh, go see Ben. Right, we've got some more interesting news stories I've picked up here. We'll promote your show in a minute, Max. So I've just got to get through these. The PR company said that we have to insert these.
Totally understand.
Maybe after you've done some juggling, I'll allow you some time to talk about your show.
I'll work for it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Would you like rather talk about luxuries or social? Yes. Well, so luxuries, your life's little luxuries, or we can discuss sort of social rudeness, social etiquette.
Oh,
we've got two different, very different stories here.
Okay. Well, I think social etiquette
sounds quite fun,
quite juicy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brits will spend more than 16 hours a year waiting for late mates to arrive at social events.
Oh.
So this is a study of nearly 2,000 adults found 75% have a friend who is always late, with 20% having to wait an hour or more beyond their agreed meet time. Yeah, okay, an hour or more. At what point would you leave somebody waiting for you? You're waiting for them, and you have to just leave.
I think it's an hour for me. Yeah. I think an hour is my cutoff point, where I'm just like, okay. We're not doing this, are we? You know? Unless they've been like sent a series of text messages being like, my granny caught fire. the train is broken in half. Like, you know, obviously if you're getting updates that are like, oh no, I've fallen in quicksand. Quick, we must get to, you know, then fine. But I think zero contact or just like, sorry, on my way, and it's an hour, I'm like, I'm out of there. That's my graphic point. But what I will say is that I am also typically a 5 to 10 minute late person for things.
So you're never there bang on the hour?
Very rarely anywhere bang on the hour I'm meant to be there. So I understand probably cumulatively I am making up a slice of this pie.
Of this 16 hours?
Yes.
You're contributing to this.
I am
somebody
contributing
16
it.
Hours.
But I do think I'm not a like... a half an hour, 45 hour person.
No,
I think that's like...
That's ridiculous.
That feels mad.
We hang out quite a lot, Max.
We do.
Who do you think of us is the latest?
I think recently it's been me.
Yes. Yeah, that is true. We went to a lovely curry called Rim Jim in Wimborne.
That was odd.
Rim Jims. Yeah. It was very nice.
You arrived in the car park second for that.
Yes, I did. We arrived pretty much at the same time. But
pretty much the same time, yeah.
So you
are after me, yeah. Sure.
You think you're the later, as a la Ben here, you're the late arriver.
Of late, yeah.
Especially of late. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about bloody late. Yeah.
But if it got to an hour and I was the person who was late, I'd probably cancel it for the other person. I'd be like, let's just, no, I can't.
Yeah. Is there somebody in your life, when you heard this story, was there somebody that came into your mind, you're like, oh God, that person?
I think, unfortunately, I probably am that person to Certainly.
So you just had a pang of guilt when I read the story.
Yeah, definitely.
What about you, Max? Was there anyone in your life that you're like?
Ken, it has been playing on my mind recently that I have been consistently late for most things.
Oh my god! Well, you both arrived for this on time. I would like to give yourselves a bit of. I think you're beating yourselves up too much. I also think 5 minutes is acceptable. I know, like, if they arrive 5 minutes late, they don't value your time, they don't value you as a person, blah, 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 all this sort of, like, social media self-improvement, self-valuing shit. But no.
I think that's ridiculous. Because also, like, how much do you value 5 minutes of your time? No offence. Like, who is doing anything in that 5 minutes that's, like... Also, I always think that thing where people are like, oh, you know, you don't value my time, and it was, like, 10 minutes of... It was 10 minutes you were going to be spending with me.
Yeah.
So it's... Do you know what I mean? It's like, why are you so angry? I'm the key ingredient you wanted.
The key ingredient,
I'm holding you hostage in a way. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, this is, you wanted the goods. I am the goods.
Grateful for that little buffer before social time where you've just arrived at a place. I'm quite grateful for the 5 minutes before I have to do things.
Clear my messages. Yeah. Love that, actually. Yeah, I think everyone should arrive 5-10 minutes late for everything, actually. But
you can't arrange that because then that becomes the arrival time.
Okay, but then if we all just...
It's this sort of horrible thing where we have to all pretend that that is the agreed time, but knowing we'll arrive 5 minutes later.
I think everyone just needs to chill out.
Yeah. That's the message for the country.
Chill out.
Can we all chill the fuck out?
Oh, just chill out, guys.
People get so fucking intense. You both exist on social media. Mm. What, have you had any very intense comments recently or anything like that?
Not... To me, I did have I have a guy who has liked everything I've ever put on Instagram ever, and who you know, little image of a bald guy, very clearly became, it was clear he was a foot guy, wanted foot stuff, because there was a couple of those messages, those types of, and often like kind
what
of
what prompts that, what
I think I accidentally put one photo on Instagram that had my feet in it, but was not, you know. But anyway, recently I put something about like Yvette Cooper and the thing, which obviously is illegal.
It's illegal,
And it was and I put political stuff online before. It's not like I'm like completely apolitical and it's all just show business, baby.
Yeah.
It's like and for whatever reason it annoyed him, and he sent me quite a like mean thing about her. Oh, no, about...
defending Yvette Cooper.
Defending it. And I was just like, you know what? You're creepy, and I've put up with you for a long time. So I blocked him, and it just felt amazing.
Yeah, that's nice.
Just being like, not only do I not have to see this every day anymore, it's also just like, I don't even have to get any... There's no repercussion from this.
Yeah.
He's just gone.
He's gone forever.
Lovely. That was lovely.
What a strange thing. Maybe he had like a thing for Yvette Cooper's feet.
Yeah,
and he's like, how dare you? She is my best foot client.
My queen.
Her two top donors are pro-Israel lobbyists and this foot fetish guy.
Yeah. Oh, Yvette
Cooper coming up to the Wednesday Commons debate being like, we should make foot porn readily available on the NHS. It's like, where's that come from? Look into her donors. It's your foot fan.
That's so strange. Yeah.
Oh no. I don't like feet paying for for Israel, thank you. That's horrible.
Boycott Ben's feet.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, I love the little sentence that sort of went amiss in that chat was, you know, it's not all show business.
Yeah.
You are a fantastic comedian, but you are the least show business person I could imagine in my life.
Yeah, there was a pretty big pair of inverted commas over
show business.
And also, what's the other one I saw? Sorry, Matt, I don't know if you've had nasty comments on social.
You get lots of weirdos.
Yeah.
We'll come to your very intense weirdos in a minute. But did you have a last one?
Well, I was going to say, I occasionally, because I'm a bit of a nerd and I was a big like comics fan when I was a teenager, I get a lot of like MCU like updates and details in the like Instagram reels that I never really look at, but whenever I click on the reel thing, it's all just there waiting for me. and I clicked on one of them recently, and it was just something about like, there's rumors about the new Avengers movie or whatever, and in the comments someone had just put like, oh god, everyone just needs to get a job. And I was like, I really want it. Like, all this stuff about everyone being like angry about like the new Superman or like angry about the thing. And this person was here, was like, everyone just needs to like shut up and get a job. And I was like, that is so true.
That's the energy. Yeah,
all
yeah.
these people just like furious that like the new whoever is it, like a black woman or whatever. And you're like, just get a. It's yeah. a fictional character who shoots lasers from their butt or whatever. Like, you just get a job. And I was like, that's delicious.
I that is very funny, but Laser Butt Woman is historically been, you know, Aryan white, and I think that's actually very important to the lore of the comics, so I'll have to disagree with you there a little bit. I just want to come to your weirdos, because obviously ventriloquist fans are
few and far between,
and they're all very interesting.
Yeah, I guess
I've made custom videos for you before, not your feet stuff, but like I've made, I've pretended to be some of your fans.
Oh yeah, you fully have.
So you get like lots of Americans. I'm just speaking on your behalf here. Americans who are like, "Hey Max, what do you think of my ventriloquism?" And then they send you the worst ventriloquism ever.
Oh yeah.
So I've imitated that and sent that to you before. Is there a guy or a woman even? Women can be creeps too. You know, it's 2025.
There's someone who is. Consistently, weekly now, messaging me asking if I do Zoom with the puppets.
Is this a sexual thing as well?
Do you do Zoom calls with the puppets? Oh. Is what I'm getting.
And do you?
That could be a beat. That's quite good. Do you do Zoom calls with the puppets?
Post that out. And then the other one was I had someone sort of well-meaning. This was a while ago, but my goodness, saying that they did a lot of work with an amazing dyslexia charity, and their genuine phrasing was just writing to you, hoping that you had dyslexia, so that I could use you as an example.
So just fingers crossed.
I was really hoping you had dyslexia, so that I could use you as an example of someone who's pushed through. And I was like, I ended up writing a message which said, "I'm so sorry that I don't have dyslexia.
I am so sorry. I do not have dyslexia."
Oh, that's wild. What a crazy recruitment strategy to be like, really I can't research people with dyslexia. I'll just message anyone and hope that they say yes.
Please tell me you have dyslexia.
I was really hoping.
Absolute madness.
So many mad people on the internet. We are going to go into another break now, and then we have the brilliant Amy Annette. She is in the production booth, ready to get drafted in. So we'll have a quick break, and then we'll be back with Amy Annette.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the Pulse of the Nation. Very excitingly, I have all four mic faders up. We have the brilliant Amy Annette in the studio. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Enjoying our air-conned luxury
loving
here.
The air-con.
It's great.
I'm not built for the heat.
No, it's horrible at the moment. It really is. I mean, you came on the tube.
I came on the tube.
How is it down there?
It was not too bad, actually. I sort of always expect it to be like a
horror show. What a person
of
the people you are.
A real person. I was saying earlier, he was the least showbiz man that I can think of.
You are. Yeah. Why are you insulting your guests?
I know. No, I don't. I mean that in a positive way. No, I like.
This has ruined my day.
But you know, you're not like. Hey, I'm turning on the charm.
No.
Right. You are charming, but you're not like smarmy.
I'm enjoying this hole being dug.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Making it worse.
Shovel away.
No, Ben is very, very funny, and you must go see his Edinburgh show 505 at the Assembly Box, The Cut. Speaking of Edinburgh shows,
The Cut,
yes. Yeah,
yeah. It's about. Is that a new room?
Oh, no, that's the name.
Also, the name of the show is called The Cut. Yeah,
that makes
much
more sense. No. Yeah, I was like, that's a crazy name.
That is.
For a room, a wonderful name for a show.
Wonderful name for a show, yes. Speaking of rooms, you're in the Baby Grand for all of Fringe, 4:35 with Busybody.
Yeah.
So tell us about Busybody.
Well, once again, I've called my show something that I, with my lisp, quite find hard to say. Busybody. It's a lot of fun. Busybody. It started about being about, I'm like addicted to my phone, basically, and sort of trying to understand where's that come from. And it's embarrassing, right? It's so lame to say you're addicted to your phone, because all other addictions are much cooler. Mm. Right? Like, at least drinking is sociable at the beginning. There's like just alone in your room on your phone. And then I looked into it and I found out it's called like nomophobia, which is like no mobile phone. own phobia, but I really hate that it sounds like homophobia. All I do is follow you and Tom Allen. That doesn't make any sense to me. So it started about that, and then it's sort of about me getting a bit older and the things I've come to understand about that. Like, I'm shifting into my next phase.
Oh, that's exciting. A new phase is always very exciting.
Yeah, gear shifting.
Do you think you have know what that next phase is yet? Do you have a title for it?
Old girl. Maybe fun aunt. I'm really
fun aunt phase.
Era.
I like that.
I don't have any nieces or nephews, but I won't let that stop.
It's a vibe thing. It's not about biology. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that.
No, you're very welcome. What eras do you think you guys are in? What era would you say, would you tie to your current life, Max?
My current era?
Yeah. What phase of...
Flailing phase.
Flailing phase. Yeah.
And then flailing. Give yourself like a person in a family, like flailing nephew.
This will be like the Facebook page post how to create your era name.
I'm fun aunt, so you're flailing
grandma. It's got to be flailing grandma.
I think flailing nephew is good. You've got very nephew energy.
Do I? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Flailing nephew.
I bet you've got an uncle.
Do you want to be flailing?
What? How
flaming?
Dare you?
I don't think flaming.
Flaming.
Do you want to be flaming cousin?
Flaming nephew.
It's a great drink.
I'll be the flaming nephew.
Yeah. Flaming nephew.
It's like an IPA.
New from Brewdog, flaming nephew.
It wouldn't be Brewdog. I don't think they like gay people.
No, they don't have that energy. To that Beaver Town. They at very least like lesbians. What era do you think you're in, Ben?
I think I'm in like with absolutely zero plans to have a child in the immediate future. I think I am in becoming like someone you could see with the pram walking around being like, oh, fucking, but this is not happening right now. so
you're
that's
saying you look tired.
I think I look tired.
You're saying I feel stressed like I have a child, but I don't have a child. Yeah, I hear you.
I think, and also I think people have gone from in the last couple of years seeing me as like, oh, look at that little boy, to look, that tired man needs a break. That's the transition.
Yeah, that's so nice.
I think
nice.
Not showbiz at all.
So we have fun aunt.
Yeah.
Flailing nephew. Pre-dad.
And
then flaming nephew, I guess.
Flaming nephew.
So I'm sort of coming into my glamour. I've just stolen this outfit from my partner. Yeah. But still, the big hoop sort of glamour era. Yeah. Thank you very much. Likewise, you got lovely, lovely. Either of you have any sort of piercings that we don't know about?
Oh.
No.
Thrilling that would be if you did.
That would be so exciting. That would be showbiz. I would retract all of my anti-showbiz statements if you said, I've actually got a nipple piercing. Yeah.
That would be quite cool. No, I don't have any piercings. I'm not that keen to get one, but I have been talking a lot about getting a tattoo recently.
Uh-oh, pre-dad.
Yeah.
That's pre-dad energy.
What came first, like the concept of the tattoo or the actual design of that tattoo? Do you want a tattoo or do you want a specific thing?
I have two ideas in mind,
right?
And that part of it is because my partner's just got one, and so I'm sort of like, maybe I should get one now.
The same one?
No, probably not. Cause she's the chef, so hers is like tomatoes, and I love tomatoes, but I don't.
Oh, the chef tattoo.
She's the chef, so obviously tomatoes. It's tomatoes. Yeah.
I was gonna get like a little ammonite shell or a pine cone.
You don't think you'd do anything bookish?
No. I think words as a tattoo is just always a bummer.
Yeah.
Because what if you quote anyone you quote could at any time be revealed?
Yeah.
Mm. Pete.
Yes.
A Pete. A Pete. We all live in fear of the Pete reveal.
Yeah, in this country. Are you kidding me? Yes.
Honestly. Pete's all over the place.
I keep playing a game when I see a male name in a newspaper, which is like dead or Pete.
I've got a newspaper right here. Do you want to play dead or Pete?
Let's play dead
or
Pete.
I'll tell you, the way the dead or Pete happens, you just always have to be like, fingers crossed, dead.
That's the best possible scenario.
Well, the thing is...
Dead Pete or other, I guess, for library.
Dead Pete or other, yeah. The first person that's come up is Reginald D. Hunter, the comedian.
Has he died?
No, he's in court over some questionable posts on Twitter.
Oh.
or X as it's now known. Let's
what a 2025.
Okay. Roman Straviot. Roman Straviot, dead or peed, dead or peed.
Who is that?
Roman Straviot.
I don't think you get to know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You, it's just, you get the name.
The answer might be that paedophile.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Renowned paedophile, Roman Straviot, dead or peed. What do you reckon?
Third page in the Metro, I'm going to say dead.
Dead, Ben?
By position in the Metro.
I'm really sorry to whoever Roman is, but peed?
Yeah. Peed, okay, peed.
I'm going to balance it out with dead.
Dead, dead, peed, dead.
That feels like a name that's dying out.
Roman Straviot was the ex-transport minister for Vladimir Putin's government.
And he's dead.
He's dead, yes.
Oh. Okay, sorry. But he also loved kids. Oh, dead people.
Yes, he's a dead
people. They just found him dead.
Yeah, they found him dead. Yes, he got fired from his position and then he was
oh my goodness.
Dead.
Fired.
He killed himself.
Mod of the week, because this could be a round.
Yeah. This could be dead or peed. okay, now, we're going to be reading you another name. That sounds like my diary brain impression. Absolutely terrible. I do apologise.
Yeah.
See, this is why I never have the full complement of guests. There's, you have too much power against me to make fun of me.
Well, you made fun of yourself.
I really did. Yeah,
that was so bad. It was very nice.
I was trying my best.
What I liked in your Dara impression was a lot of shoulder
movement,
which I don't associate with.
No,
he's quite a skilled man.
And it was also the scouse at the beginning as well was very.
It was a good accent.
Yes.
Great accent.
Okay. this has not gone well for me at all, but I think there are no peds in the Metro today. We've got a peed-free Metro, which
seems
is always
unlikely
good.
Unlikely in this country.
Well, we can speculate if you like. There's some people that are a bit
questionable. I do speculate in my show, actually.
No. Oh, really?
No, I do. Come to see my show. I speculate about peds.
Yes, yeah. If you want the top cutting-edge ped speculation, Amy Net Busybody, 4:35. That's what she's been busy doing, investigating all these peds.
There's too many. It's just I thought there would be a few, but this country, come on.
Oh, it's really, and the halls of power throughout all of history, royalty, MPs, everything, all the aristocrats.
Yes.
That's
so
what
much.
The P in MP stands for.
MP.
Member of
Pete.
Oh, it's sad but true.
Well, it is very sad but true, and we must expose it. But while we're a bit in the weeds of peds, I think,
sorry,
at the moment. No, it's not your fault.
No, yeah.
It's an important issue.
To radio shows.
And they're everywhere. And also there is, of course, the step above ped, which is nonce, which is more broad. Yeah. Like, a ped can be a nonce, but I think a nonce is all encompassing. So, like, a 50-year-old man with an 18-year-old girl, he's a nonce.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
That's my reading of it.
That's so interesting. I talk about nonce in my show, that word, because I find it so fascinating. And I was saying that I looked into it because I was like, where did it come from? And it comes from the old English. Do you know that? It stands for nonce, and it means king's brother.
No,
of course not.
It doesn't stand for not on normal core exercise.
Yes, it does.
It's a prison thing. It's actually an acronym.
No, it's not.
This is, so
stop
Max,
it.
Max's
no,
least favourite thing is acronyms.
Oh.
So people being like, did you know hospital
they
stands for house of six people
me.
In need of treatment?
Posh. Port out starboard home.
But is it?
You're going to hate this radio
but
station.
Is it?
You're really going to. Yeah, yeah. This is tough.
Do you know what FUBAR stands for?
No.
Do you actually not?
No, I don't.
Nonce is an acronym. It's not
an acronym. Yeah, nonce is actually a genuine acronym. FUBAR stands for fucked up beyond all recognition. That is, these are genuinely true. He's so suspicious. And nonce stands for not on normal court exercise, because when the sex offenders and paedophiles were going to prison, they couldn't mix with the general population because they'd get beaten up and killed.
Yeah.
So that is true. I promise you. I promise.
Okay.
A lot of skepticism.
Wait, what's a backronym then? Is that when
it's when they like prescribe it to a word.
Oh,
so that they'll
existed already and then and you've decided.
Say.
Oh, what's the hospital one? It'd be like on Facebook. It'd be like a meme.
It's always on Facebook.
And it'd be like, did you? I was today years old, and I found out that hospital stands for house of sick people in need of treatment and life saving.
And there was one for fuck as well that was
unknown carnal knowledge.
Yeah, fornicating under. Ridiculous.
Right. But what's annoying is when the backronyms become legitimised, so then people.
Or it's just generally not true. It's just not true, yeah.
The general rule is anything pre 1900 is almost never a backronym. Mm. So if the word is older than the last sort of 100 years, not likely to be an acronym.
But nonce, that's new.
Nonce is new, yeah. They weren't noncing about the place in the Victorian era.
But they weren't calling it that.
But yeah, what do you make of that sort of hierarchy, pede, nonce thing? I think there are people we can call nonces, and I'd like to legitimise this point of view to save myself any libel cases for calling people nonces in the future.
I see.
Right.
I think smart. It's fine. I think it makes sense because nonce is also a funnier word than paedophile.
Really funny.
Paedophile sounds like, oh, that's in some paperwork.
That's some paperwork.
That's been submitted in court.
That's the first thing I think of when I see the word paedophile. Oh God, the paperwork on that.
A file in it. You're like file. I get it.
Whereas nonce is like.
I love that as a differentiation. Mm. That like a paedophile is a nonce, but an. You could also be a nonce, be a different thing. Every paedophile is a nonce, but not every nonce is a paedophile.
Exactly.
Yes. Wow, but you've really opened my mind.
Well, good. I'm glad this is what I want the public discourse to be around. By the way, I loved your nonce theme tune. I'd love that as a sting if we could isolate that. So, nonce. Okay. We've got so into the peed chat. We don't have much time for a lot else, but I do have some charity shop photos.
Yes.
Are you charity shop goers?
Love.
Yes.
What's your any sort of mad shit you've seen before?
Yeah,
that comes to mind.
Local hospice charity shop. Phyllis Tuckwell Hospice. I've told you about this.
Phyllis Tuckwell.
Great drag name. Cannonball.
A cannonball.
Yeah.
Cannonball in a charity shop.
Used.
How much?
£40.
£40.
Cheap,
is that a doorstop or is that paper? Like, it was a cannonball. Yeah.
Wow.
I had a box of condoms once.
Sorry.
Box of condoms in Winton Barnardo's.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh.
£2 box. Unopened, but still a box of condoms. Any mad shit stick out for you?
Well, in Australia, they call them op shops, which I love. I think it stands for opportunity shops, but they'll say, like, are you going to the op shop? And you're like, yes, I would love to.
Nice.
And they actually have so many op shops, but they're slightly, I don't know, they're a bit more like American thrifting, if that makes sense. So I found a very lovely blazer.
Oh.
That was like very much like a sort of Dame Edna energy, which is my life.
Nice.
Without, you know, all the scandals.
Yeah. That's great. That's a really good find.
It was a good
what
find.
About yourself, Ben? Any final thoughts?
My favorite thing I did not buy, and it is going to haunt me to my death. A t-shirt, a novelty t-shirt that someone had, it was clearly not official merchandise, someone had made it or commissioned it, and it was for the Barbenheimer day when both Barbie and half of the t-shirt was Barbie pink, the other half was like that kind of beige grey, and it said Barbenheimer across the middle, and it was like split.
Lovely.
The Barb and then Unheimer. It was too small and tight for anyone to wear. The idea of like getting it
Barbie,
and saying, well, yeah, presumably, yes, you're so right.
Yeah.
That was maybe what I should have got it for Halloween.
Yeah. And that would have been great.
Frame it.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, put that in your office.
I tried to frame a t-shirt yesterday. Harder than you think.
A t-shirt of what?
Of an Outcast t-shirt.
From Hey Ya.
Yeah, it was quite faded, and I was like, oh, I should stop wearing this. And then I was like, I'll frame it. It looks insane. It looks terrible. I think you could frame a tea towel.
You really are in your fun aunt era.
I am my fun aunt era.
Just the sentence, yes. I think you can frame a tea towel.
You can frame a t-shirt. You should certainly frame a tea towel, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, speaking of official merchandise, what do we make of this? Cliff Richard salt and pepper shakers.
I thought they were urns.
for Cliff himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they
I'm sad that they don't have any differentiation.
That's mad. Like, he should be in like a black suit.
A black suit.
And a white suit.
So in both images, he's in a white suit and it just says Cliff and it's Cliff Richard. But yeah, I think I agree. There should be differentiation. Is there a second image on our rogues gallery of charity shop shit?
Squirrel plate behind it.
Yeah, that's good. That's a classic. That's a classic charity shop
now
plate.
Now that you'd pop on your wall. You wouldn't eat on that.
No. You never eat on those squirrels.
You're not eating on an ancient squirrel plane.
Oh, and the second one is not coming to us, I'm afraid.
Oh.
We've been barred from making fun of charity shop shit.
Oh, that's fair enough. I love novelty salt and pepper shakers, and I've got a lot of them for my Canadian relatives. Various British things, nice. Corgis, the Queen, etc.
Lovely. Well, we'll end with this one then. This is, speaking of salt and pepper shakers, pandas banging each other.
Oh.
Anal pandas from Mallorca. Yeah.
Great.
That's fun.
That's yours?
Yeah, that's mine. That's,
do you have
that? It's mine, gifted to me. Yeah, yeah.
That's quite encouraging because they're encouraged to do that, aren't they? Because they're in.
Yeah,
endangered.
That's a good point, actually.
Well, they're not I'm doing this.
Is that official WWF?
They're not encouraged to do anal, guys.
That's the problem.
The problem is the pandas.
Those pandas keep doing anal.
On that note, we won't go back into the charity shop, but speaking of charity, there is, of course, one more Fringe show around this table we need to promote. You can catch me, my show, Andrew White, 8:35 every day at Cabaret Voltaire, 28th of July to the 10th of August. Thank you, Amy Annette. You can follow Amy at the Amy Annette.
Yes.
You can follow Ben at Pope's Benedict. You can follow Max at Max Fulham. This show is Pulse of the Nation. Give us a review and a 5 stars on the podcasts. As we're hurtling towards the end, we have literally, the more I sort of hesitate, the less time we have, like 20 seconds in which, Max, you are allowed to plug your Fringe show. Go on, I'll give you the 15 second run. Go.
It's called Max Fulham Full of Ham. It's at the Pleasant Courtyard in the Cellar at 18:40 every day, not the 11th, at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. It's sketches, stand-up, ventriloquism. Enjoy.
Bye-bye. Thank you, guys. See you next week. Bye.
Foo Bar Radio.